Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President.
Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Scott coming to you live from Shreveport, Louisiana. And today I'm in my old stomping grounds, my parents' house, and preparing this was quite interesting. I'm just reflecting back on some things that happened over the past week. Is a lot of what we've been praying for is now accumulating up until this moment. And with today's podcast briefing, wherever you guys watch, listen, want to prepare ourselves not only for protecting our inheritance, which is what I titled today's episode, but also spiritually, I mean, in every aspect, our inheritance, yes, but let's, okay, now it's here. The spiritual battle is accumulating in the natural to this moment, in this time, in this season, especially with the ever-increasing moment we get closer towards June and the possible release, early release, maybe today, maybe sometime this week, of the SCOTUS opinion on the Mississippi Dobbs case. And so let's, before we dive into everything, let's check our motions at the door to remind ourselves that we have souls to save in order to spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. Okay. Now, with that being said, I want to bring up our scripture of the day, and I want to focus in on 1 Kings 3. And it's the story of Solomon, who wisely judges the case of the two mothers and the dead and living baby. And I want to focus on verse 20, when it goes through and the who we come to learn of the mother of the living child basically tells her case to Solomon. And so in verse 20, we see her as she states to Solomon, she's gone through, okay, so-and-so happened, he was born, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes and says, and so she arose, speaking of the other mother, in the middle of the night. And again, in the middle of the night, our study of the midnight hour, of what can happen, of being watchful, of being mindful of what's going on. I mean, it's why we do our noon prayers, as we pray for what happens at the midnight hour. And this is the whole point of Chuck's book, of the reordering your day, so we can take back the night. And as we see here, the enemy might try to do some nefarious things in the middle of the night. But the Lord wants that to be a time of thanksgiving. So, but I digress and get back to the story. So in the middle of the night, and took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead son in my bosom. And then we know the rest of the story of Solomon wasn't quite sure, because it's pretty much hearsay, but then tests the mothers to see, okay, what if I cut him in half? They give you one side and the other. And then he determines through wisdom and fear of the Lord who was the mother of the living child and who was the mother of the dead child. And Chuck points out here, I think very wisely, is that in this season for today, tomorrow, tonight, however, whenever you pray, is ask the Lord to show you any thief that would try to take your inheritance. And I think that's very important. It is sometimes we think, oh, God's sovereign. If he's going to bless me, he's going to bless me. But that doesn't mean the enemy's not going to try to do something to prevent you from being able to reach that inheritance. And so we need to stay involved, stay on the wall. That's why we're here. I know you guys are here. It's just a simple reminder as we walk out biblical foundations here in scripture that shows more and more, gives more and more of a stronger foundation for why we do what we do, and how to guide ourselves in this season and in the next. Okay. Now, with that being said, I'm going to catch us up on some things that happened over the weekend and look forward to some things that are happening this week. Obviously, there's really no articles or anything out that we've been able to find. We've been looking for a couple days now. But there has been rumors about the early release of Supreme Court cases. It would be wise if John Roberts would release all of them that they have so far, not just the Dodds case. So we want to pray for that. But we want to, again, focus on the internationals and making sure that we're staying up to date, because we do have a prayer point to pray for this administration on Ukraine. And there's some flaky decisions that have been coming up. Flaky wording was a better way to put it, about what potentially might be happening in the long run and short run. But now we're seeing out of Europe that Finland and Sweden are this week going to declare that they will be joining NATO. Now, why is this important? Because even in conversations before this, Russia was telling Sweden and NATO that this might have military nuclear ramifications from this. What does that necessarily mean? If Russia were to do such an act, would the world step up and do anything? Is there too much red tape in NATO and the EU for them to even do anything? Would Biden want to do that? I'm not saying I have the answers. I'm saying this is why we need to pray. And anybody speculating, I think it's okay to hear their opinion and hear them out and hear their reasoning. But what is the Lord saying? What is the Lord saying for this administration to do? What is the Lord saying for this nation to do? And you saw from this weekend, or you saw from last week, I briefly mentioned it, is that McConnell talked about how the war in Ukraine is the most important issue in the world. Well, why is that? He's not clearly saying why. He's just saying that. And so now Mitch McConnell is urging Biden to name Russia as sponsor of state terrorism as he goes over to Ukraine, taking some senators with him. And the question is okay, why are you making this a priority? Why is this becoming a priority? And if you saw last week, the vote on the Senate floor to fund for the bill of the $40 billion for Ukraine, and Rand Paul blocked it because he asked for an inspector general to be a part of the funding and a part of this bill to say, to inspect and determine where's the money going that we're giving them. And he lays out the fact of, look, this is more than we've given in Afghanistan and a host of other places combined. Also, the fact is that Rand Paul blocks every foreign aid bill. Yeah, that's his libertarian mindset. He's going to do that. He's done that on Israel. He's done that on other areas. So it's not surprising there. But there are reports that it will most likely get passed somehow this week. They'll just have to go through some more hoops. There are other senators stepping up and saying they're not going to vote for it. And this is a big question. Is it wise to give Ukraine this money right now? Why? And another question for us as Americans is saying, why do we have to do it? Why aren't we having NATO and EU, who it affects more than anybody else in the world, why don't you step up? That's what Trump did. Why isn't Biden doing this? And I think something wise to ask this administration would be is, okay, why was Trump doing that? And what were the fruits of it, number one? And then number two is why isn't the EU willing to pay? I think it's kind of clear for us. Why would they pay if we're going to pay? But also, I think this administration is obviously, we understand with what happened in Afghanistan, short-sighted on a lot of this international stuff. They just, for some reason, just don't understand it of how to interact with foreign diplomats and et cetera. And it's caused a lot of international problems. You're seeing Iran back on the map with how they're navigating that. So we do want to pray for this administration on this issue of making sure they have the fear and wisdom of the Lord in navigating this issue with Ukraine. because these steps that they're taking are inching the world ever closer to another war, an outcry, and potential release of nuclear bombs from Russia. I think this is similar to a Cold War, but I think this is more of a threat. Then with where Russia is positioned in South America, I think we need to be really be wise in how we pray for this administration on this issue. Obviously, we have prophetic and others have prophetic that this debacle, war, conflict between Russia and Ukraine and the rest of the world could go on for several years. So we want to pray that they navigate it. There's the Daniel Pierce stream of the misfire, the hand-to-hand combat battle with Russia. So we want to stay on the wall, praying for the office of the president and the administration for this issue to have the fear and wisdom of the Lord there as well. Okay, now on to domestic issues, some things that happened late last week that I think is because of some events that have happened over the weekend, and I'll get to that here in a sec. Things are not being talked about that have ramifications more further down the road, but still have some ramifications now, is that what looks most likely looks like, and definitely in the long term, we know this is where this administration is gearing towards, as they have canceled gas and lease sales off of Alaska and the Gulf of Mexico, which is very alarming for the prospects of oil and gas in 7 to 10 years. And so the leases they have now will not affect in the short term, but in the long term, this is where this will affect it. There are some that are happy about this because obviously they want to go towards wind and solar, which the issue with that is we have to make it to be able to get to a point where that, to see if that is even a long-term viable solution, because that has yet to still be determined, and yet we're jumping gung-ho with a rock tied to our ankles without seeing whether this is actually viable or not. So I think this is something, you know, maybe be aware of, not only now, but in the long term, as if gas prices continue to stay where they're at, not only in this term of the Biden presidency, but future as well. Okay, for some events that happened earlier this weekend, is with all the shootings and everything going on, something is obviously very interesting, and I want to focus in on the actions, more so the response of this administration around the Buffalo, California, and Houston shooting. Is they're obviously right now focusing on the one in Buffalo, as Biden tomorrow plans to visit Buffalo. The question is, why Buffalo? Why didn't he go to Wisconsin when somebody ran through the parade? Why didn't he go to other shootings when there was certain other circumstances? And I don't want to get into the weeds of it, mainly because I think we all understand the story, we are aware of it. This is where we really need to check our emotions and ask ourselves, why is a president doing this, but not in past speaking up about it and everybody else and blah, blah, blah. And it's, we can acknowledge that, yes, this man was, he was really a child. I mean, he was an 18-year-old kid. He had some problems or warnings there that needed to be dealt with and weren't. And unfortunately, this stuff happens. Some people are just straight up saying he's evil, and that you can't deny that with what happened in Buffalo. But everybody's trying to attribute and tie and blame and make a political issue out of this. Look, there's a loss of life. Let's mourn that. Let's grieve that. Let's support those families whose lives have now been altered because of the actions of a madman. And that then goes into something to be watchful of, is now they're pointing at, again, the calls around the Second Amendment, gun control, social media accountability, the same battles you've always been fighting. Why this is important to continue and always be mindful of is Bob Jones, long time ago, talked about how when they come for the guns is when there is an increased potential threat for a civil war. Rick Joyner talks about this at the time, and warns about this, talks about being again, being prepared, canned supply of food, water for 2 months, because you never know what could happen, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, it's a good, he has a good mind frame on being prepared in season and out of season is the best way. And there's wisdom in that. And so we want to make sure our leaders now and in the future understand that, look, there's, let's not politicize this. Let's not be emotional about this. Is there some concerns? Yes, absolutely. I think everybody would have concerns with what happened and want to deal with it in a responsible and respectful manner of not only the families, but even of the family of the, I mean, he's a child of the kid who performed these acts and in the other places. And so let's not get caught up in this and that debate. Let's pray that our leaders have wisdom to navigate this, but also be mindful that some will just completely ignore and they have their agenda and they're going to want to push it, and understand that, okay, we have warnings about this type of move. And I'm not saying it's call to arms. I'm saying, look, it's a mindful presence, and it's why the Second Amendment is there, to defend ourselves against enemies, foreign and domestic. So I want to be mindful and aware of that, sober in of the times which that we are in. Okay, now we're hearing a lot about this baby formula, and the reason I want to talk about this story real quick is, like I said last week, I'm firsthand dealing with this. My son drinks a lot of milk, and so we need formula. And right now he's doing something they call baby led weaning, where he's starting to eat food and stuff. Well, that's going to take time for him to eat food. He doesn't have any teeth. He's still developing that. So he still needs breast milk, formula milk, et cetera. And so the company Abbott Laboratories, who produces the brand Similac and a lot of other food containers and things sold in America, their plant in Ohio, this is why, part of why there's a shortage. There's a plant in Ohio that earlier in the year, had an inspection from the FDA. Well, they failed that inspection, and there was contamination in batches of the formula, and it was the exact formula that my son was using. And so the plant in Ohio, plant in Michigan was shut down by the FDA because they needed to clean up and to be able to uphold to the standards. And there have been rumors about, you know, this, that, and the other. Well, the company and the FDA came out and said that the plant remains closed, and that Abbott itself said that within 2 weeks, it could be open and it could be ready to have another FDA inspection done, and it could start producing formula in 2 weeks. And this was from this weekend, Saturday. Then once the formula started to produce, the plant is back online, it would take another 6 to 8 weeks. So at the earliest, if all the red tape is cleared, everything is happening just from this one plant, then they could get back. And that's early, you're talking late July, early August, at the earliest that this one plant could get back online. Now, is that going to solve all the problems? No. What you're seeing from this administration, and I think we have to point this out, is this is why we're here, this is why we're praying, is that this administration, Pete Buttigieg, went on all the news shows, Sunday morning talk shows on Sunday, and said, well, the government does not make baby formula. Yes. Well, the government doesn't make PPEs. The government doesn't make ventilators. The government doesn't do a lot of things. But yet, in certain times, certain actions can be taken by the president that Marco Rubio points out. As he talks about, it says, and other senators said, it called on Biden to invoke the Defense Protection Act to compel producers to increase production, but the administration has not done so yet. The question is why? Why are they taking so long? Why is the response so slow? You know this is an issue. Why are you sending formula to the border? That's a huge issue. And this goes to prayer point we've been pointing out for a while is that we want to pray and intercede for current and future leaders to arise who have the fear and wisdom of the Lord, understanding the times and seasons we are in, and use the wisdom of revelation to clearly define the policies they're running on and advocating for. And why this is important is because if they have the fear of the Lord, the fear of man and the ramifications and the outcry of what man will do when you make policy decisions that in the short term they don't think are the best for them and can hurt them in the short term, but in the long term can cause them to change habits, change an outlook, and take responsibility for certain actions. And this is what Margaret Thatcher did. She did things that the UK, British economy, and people did not like, but it set them up for success in the future. Same thing in the 70s and 80s, after Carter. Politicians came in, made hard line issues. Was it perfect? No, there are still ramifications and issues of some of those decisions being made that were made then today. Some of them, most of them, a lot of them, set up for the roaring 90s. Innovation, getting out of high inflation, and that's what we're going to need. We need it now, but if these people aren't going to do it, hey, let's pray for the next lot set coming up in these next elections, which leads me to my next story, and I'll close on this, is this week there are starting to be more primaries, and there's a few to look at. You have Pennsylvania, Senate primaries, gubernatorial primaries, Republican and Democrat on both sides. You have North Carolina Senate primaries, House primaries tomorrow. And these are all tomorrow. You have Oregon's, and we'll look at some of those this week and look at the scenarios and the voting and who the turnout and the percentages and stuff like that. You also have Idaho's Republican GOP primary, gubernatorial primary. So we have some elections coming up, and as we're looking towards, okay, are these politicians, number one, who they say they are, advocating for policy-wise, and then number two, do those align with the Father's heart, and are they in line with where we need to go as a country? Obviously, the biggest issue right now is very clear to see, is that of abortion. And that's a key indicator of where a lot of policies down the line, because if they're not going to advocate for life, even at conception, and standing for life, then look further down the road, and you'll see the diving off the narrow road. And so we're seeing that play out. And this week, this will be big things happening with these primaries. We'll start to see the lay of the land, especially in North Carolina. It's very heated, especially with Madison Cawthorn and all the exposing that's come out on him since his background is being revealed. And others are being revealed as well in Pennsylvania and elsewhere, both on Republican and Democratic side. So we want to be wise in our decisions that we're making in the primaries, as we're interceding for our leaders. And then lastly, let's continue to pray until the decision comes out for the Supreme Court justices, and more specifically for Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh, to have peace and wisdom in amongst the storm, and praying for safety for their families, praying safety for protection for the justices themselves, to be able to make the decision without fear of influence or fear of repercussions from this party, that party, as you see these instances occur this weekend. So with that, I want to end on that note. Let's continue to stand, continue to pray. Today we have our noon prayer. We'll do it online, and then tomorrow we'll be back in the sanctuary in Shreveport, and Wednesday as well. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.